Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. It's a classic Peanuts cartoon. Charlie Brown says to Lucy, "Someone has said that we should live each day as if it were the last day of our life." "Ah," cried Lucy, "this is the last day, this is it." Lucy dashes around screaming, "I only have 24 hours left, help me, help me. This is the last day, ah." "Some philosophies," says Charlie Brown, "aren't for all people." Living each day as if it were our last day of our life is not a bad philosophy, but living each day as if it were the first day of our life might be a better one. This is a new year with exciting new possibilities. The old year is gone. The mistakes we made, the obstacles we had to overcome are now in our past. A new year has arrived. There's a Brunhilde cartoon in which her troll-like, naive, innocent little friend, Erwin, puts on a long-tailed formal tuxedo, picks up a conductor's baton, and walks into the woods alone. Erwin steps up on a fallen tree trunk and begins to wave his arms as if to conduct. There are no musicians, only rocks, trees, and flowers. Soon, however, musical notes pour from the rocks, the trees, and the flowers, and they fill up the entire cartoon panel. Finally, Erwin turns and confidently says to the reader, "It's all in there. You just have to work at getting it out." As we look at this new year that has just arrived, we know that it's filled with all kinds of possibilities. They're all in there. We just have to work at getting them out. Jesus was beginning a new phase of his life. He'd been content to this point, we assume, to work in a carpenter shop, perhaps providing for his mother and other family members, since he was the oldest of the children. And we have absolutely no record at all of Joseph after Jesus' 12th birthday. We might surmise, therefore, that Joseph met an early, inopportune death. But Jesus had met his responsibilities throughout his life at this point. His brothers could now look after his mother. Now it was time for Jesus to launch the ministry for which he was born. Some of you know the excitement of a new beginning, a new phase of your life. We all have dreams, don't we? Some of them are unrealistic. Some of them we will never, ever pursue. But most people dream of something better in life, something higher, something more exciting than the life we are now living. I read about a dream that Robert Schuller's father had. As most of you probably know or remember, Schuller was the longtime pastor of the Crystal Cathedral in California, with a congregation that numbered in the thousands. Schuller's messages were broadcast all over the world via TV. Robert Schuller was just 4 years old when he decided on his life's goal. He prayed every night, "Lord, make me a preacher when I grow up." Schuller says his father cried when he heard his young son's prayer. 40 years later, Schuller's father cried again as he told Robert of his own secret dream. He had once prayed to be a pastor, but his parents had died when he was just a boy, and Schuller's father had gone to work to support himself. So he changed his prayer. "God, make me a minister through one of my sons one day." The Schullers had three children, but none of them seemed destined for ministry. Years passed, and Mrs. Schuller bore yet another son, Robert. Through him, God answered Mr. Schuller's prayer. We all have dreams, don't we? The saddest day comes when we give up on our dreams. Jesus' dream was to do the will of his father. He had a calling to answer, a destiny to fulfill. Let's look for just a few moments at this turning point in Jesus' life and ask what his example might mean for our lives as we follow our dreams. First of all, we need to understand Jesus' humility. We normally don't associate humility with following a dream. Perhaps we should. Jesus had a cousin in the ministry. He was not of the established church, that's for sure. He was a roughshod evangelist, holding services beside a river, and conducting outdoor baptismal services. In spite of his unorthodox ways, it was clear that Jesus admired his cousin. Later, he would say that there was never a man that lived that was better than John the Baptist. We don't know why Jesus went to be baptized by John. We know it wasn't because he needed cleansing of his sins. Perhaps he wanted to set an example for us, the sacrament of baptism, which would become one of the high moments in the life of a Christian. Maybe Jesus looked upon John as a mentor. Maybe he wanted to show his appreciation for what John was doing. We just don't know. But think of the humility it required for Jesus to be baptized at John's hand. John recognized it. "Why, I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals," John said to Jesus. May I suggest that if you have a dream in your heart that God is calling you to pursue it, that you begin as Jesus began, pursue it with humility. It's a standing joke, of course, that men won't ask for directions. I wonder how many men not only get lost, but also fail to achieve their dreams because they will not turn to someone wiser, someone who's been down the road before, and simply ask for help. There's a story about a mountain whose stone face seemed to stretch upward forever. The mountain had an almost magnetic effect on the boys who came to it each year from a nearby summer camp. All of them were anxious to have the chance to climb to the top. The counselors warned them not to try it by themselves. But each year, some foolish soul tried it anyway. This year was no different. While part of the group went to the ball field for softball, two of the youth struck off to attempt the big climb. Before long, they gave up, unable to master the tricky cliff. Fortunately, neither got injured. The next afternoon, however, the counselors took the boys on the climb to the mountain, and everyone made it. Why? Because the older boys who'd made the climb hundreds of times before guided the younger boys, telling them where to hold and where to step. We call them mentors, people who have life experiences which they can share with those who are setting out on the journey for the very first time. And certainly, when we are beginning a new venture, whether it is a new job or starting a new business or even coming into retirement, it would be helpful if we could have someone who's been there already to help us prepare. For some of us, that will require humility that we may not now possess. And that's a pity. Jesus was the Son of God, and yet Jesus never lost his humility. We also need to notice Jesus' sense of urgency. Once Jesus made the decision to begin his ministry, he didn't dawdle. The pages of the New Testament move swiftly from his baptism to his time of testing in the wilderness and the beginning of his ministry. Once the decision was made, action followed swiftly. I read about an esteemed cardiac surgeon, Dr. Michael DeBakey. He was the first person to perform an artificial heart transplant. The doctor's skills are in constant demand, so he can't afford to waste time. This value is displayed in a strict policy that Dr. DeBakey had at his hospital. Anyone who is caught waiting for an elevator to go up or down one floor is immediately fired. Dr. DeBakey doesn't believe in waiting around for elevators, especially if it's only going up or down one floor. Who knows how long the elevator might take? Time is too precious to be wasted. In the field of cardiac surgery, a few seconds can mean the difference between life and death. Waiting around is simply not an option. I wonder, how many dreams are never realized because the dreamer never gets into action? If you were to follow the stories of immigrant families who came to this country, you would find that episode after episode of astounding success. Why is that? Well, one reason has to be a sense of urgency. They simply can't afford to fail. There is no safety net to catch them. They don't have the social networks that others can rely on. They only have themselves. Film producer Sherry Lansing tells what a great role model her mother was. Her mother escaped from Nazi Germany when she was 17 and came to this country. She sold dresses and learned to speak perfect English. When Sherry's father died of a heart attack, she saw her mother cry and mourn, And then she saw her mother take over his real estate business. She remembers one of her mother's office managers saying, "You can't do this. You don't know anything about real estate." To which her mother replied, "No, I don't. But I will do this. You will teach me. I can do it." Sherry says that it is that attitude about life that taught her to do the same. "Teach me. I'll do it." What a fortunate person Sherry Lansing was to have a role model like her mother. Her mother did not consider failure an option. She had a sense of urgency. Jesus had the same sense of urgency about his life. It is clear from the time that he came out of the river after being baptized by John that his face was set toward his mission in Jerusalem. That did not mean he did not take time for reflection. In fact, Jesus immediately went into the wilderness for 40 days of testing, prayer, and self-examination. But nothing could delay him or discourage him or defeat him. And that brings us to the third step in achieving our dreams in this coming year. Jesus didn't look back. In fact, in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus says it pointedly, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus knew there was no turning back. Tranquil days in the carpenter shop of Nazareth were soon to become a dream. This is who he was and what he had been called to achieve. The threats of public humiliation, imprisonment, and even death on the cross did not dissuade Jesus. He had committed himself to God's plan. He would see it through. There are very few dreams that are achieved without paying an extraordinary price. There are many of you who've discovered that in your own lives. The sleepless hours, unending stress, the self-doubts, the near failures. How can we expect to achieve our worldly dreams without constant sacrifice and expect anything less in serving Jesus? This is a new year, a new beginning. Let's begin this new year then with a sense of humility, a sense of urgency, and a commitment to give our very best to whatever noble dream God has placed in our heart. Amen.